It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report brought to you by our friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. 17 weeks and 4 days away from the beginning of high school football season in South Georgia. I'd be fine if it began tonight. Beautiful weather outside for this Monday. And I've got a lot of high school football to talk about over the next hour, so thanks for joining us. Also want to thank our good friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center, a new sponsor to the show. We appreciate those folks very, very much right out there on Bemis Road in Valdosta. Stop by and see them for all of your automotive needs. Lots to talk about on this Monday night. Coming up in just a little while, we'll be joined by Dean Fabrizio, the head coach of the state champion Lee County Trojans, as they are getting ready, like most teams are in South Georgia, for spring football practice. As a matter of fact, I believe the coach told me they have middle school spring practice going on today. We'll be talking with Coach Fabrizio coming up around 6:15 here in just a little bit. Also, as you know, while we are still a few weeks away from most of the high school teams in South Georgia participating in spring football practice, colleges around the country are participating or have just ended their spring football practice this past weekend. We saw several spring games. We will see more this weekend and a few more on April the 28th, the majority of them last weekend and this coming weekend. We'll tell you about some of the South Georgia players who are standing out in their spring practices for their respective colleges, and there's quite a number of them. We'll go over that. Also, last week, we told you about one football player, Kamar Bell, the offensive lineman at Cockle County High School, who we predicted is going to start to really blow up. He got his first offer from the national champion Alabama Crimson Tide. Since then, he has not gotten any offers. They will come. Kamar, don't worry. They're coming. But another South Georgia player has absolutely blown up over the last week, and especially over the last 2 or 3 days. We'll tell you about the offers that this young man has coming his way, and again, there will be more coming his way as well. Also, we'll tell you about an interesting decision this week made by the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and we could see some ramifications from that decision here in Georgia. We'll tell you more about that. And also, another very special honor for a former South Georgia high school football player, and a much different kind of honor than we have ever talked about on this show before. And I'll tell you about that coming up. Lots to talk about on this Monday, April the 16th edition of the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. And as I mentioned, Coach Dean Fabrizio will be joining us in a little while. However, if you have a question or a comment or something that you would like to talk about, the Kerrigan-Davis hotline is open at 229-241-1059. Give us a call and let us know what's on your mind on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We'll take a quick break and come right back and get it started right here from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back on the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center, as we bring it to you each and every Monday, 6 to 7, live right here on 105.9 WVGA, and also as close as your nearest computer at ValdostaToday.com. I also want to remind you that if you, I hear from people all the time, say, oh man, I missed the show. I was doing this, doing that. Listen, we got your podcast. We got your back. We're always here for you at your convenience. If you're working out, if you're walking, if you're driving, you just want to download it and listen whenever you get a chance. We have our podcast available. We will put the link to our podcast up on our social media about half hour before, after the show is over. Facebook, The High School Football Report, and also on Twitter, at HSF Report. On Twitter, we'll put the link up there where you can go if you want to do it. The link is the easy way to do it. However, if you would like to go to our website and download it yourself whenever you get a chance, that's certainly doable. Go to ValdostaToday.com, and up at the top, you'll see radio, and you'll see News Talk 105.9, and then you'll see the High School Football Report, and you can get it from there. But the link takes you right there. It's very easy. So we try to do what we can to make it easy for you. But listen, anytime you get a chance, we appreciate all those that do. We talk high school football, and that's it. 1 hour each and every week throughout the year. We don't talk about the Braves. We don't talk about NASCAR. We don't talk about golf. We don't talk about anything else. Talk about high school football. You can get that on ESPN or any number of national media outlets. Why in the world would you want to do that here? Here you get it where you can't get anywhere else, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Again, Dean Fabrizio from Lee County High School will be joining us in just a little bit. Spring football action is happening at colleges and universities around the country, and several local players are standing out, which is not too surprising considering the number of local players we have playing in college football programs. Now, this certainly is not an inclusive list. Again, we have players all over at Division I, Power 5 conferences, all the way down to Division II and junior college and NAIA and everything in between. So this is not everybody, but these are some of the players who are standing out. And again, by the way, the Kerrigan Davis hotline, 229-241-1059. Georgia Southern, under new coach Chad Lunsford, who took over not midseason, late season last year up in Statesboro after Tyson Summers was relieved of his duties. Chad Lunsford filled in. They gave him the permanent job, and so this is his first spring practice as head coach. One local player who had a big game in their spring game, Tamarcio Reese, the linebacker from Colquitt County, returned a fumble for a touchdown. He had a fantastic spring by all accounts. Not too surprising. I know he plays big in their plans for that Eagle defense this year. Also, Malik Henry from Tift County, wide receiver, was the only receiver that the coach said had a, quote, nice spring. And so hats off to him, Malik Henry, a rising senior. They don't throw the ball a whole lot at Georgia Southern, so sometimes that wide receiver is a wide blocker. But if you want to pop a pass, Malik Henry's been the guy to go to. Now, defensively in Statesboro, they're switching to a 3-4 defense. Ty Phillips, a nose tackle from Cochran County, has had an excellent spring. He's going to be the guy in the middle. Jay Boundary from Thomasville at safety. Randy Wade, or actually outside linebacker in that 3-4. Randy Wade, who is from Early County, they're probably going to be the two starting outside linebackers. They call them, you know, every college has their own system, and they call different positions sometimes different things. It's not always, you know, two defensive ends and a tackle and inside linebacker, outside linebacker. At Statesboro, it's the dog position and also the anchor position. It's outside linebacker is what it is. And those two guys from South Georgia may be starting. Todd Bradley has also been mentioned at the inside linebacker spot, of course, from Valdosta High School. He's going to be playing big there. And if you've not been paying attention, you may be saying, wait, Chris, you've left out Seth Schumann, the quarterback at Georgia Southern. Ah, remember, Seth Schumann no longer playing football at Georgia Southern. Instead, by the way, he leads the team this spring on the pitcher's mound. 4 wins for the Georgia Southern baseball team, including 2 complete games, 59 strikeouts in 58.1 innings. Not too shabby for the former Valdosta High quarterback slash pitcher, talented young man who is finding his success on the baseball diamond in Statesboro. Clemson also had their spring game over the past weekend. Thomas County Central running back Adam Choice, 28 yards on 5 carries. Also had a couple of catches for 5 yards. Adam Choice is going to be in that mix at running back. I don't think he's going to be the main guy. He's had a few injuries since he's been there at Clemson, but he has been he was in the mix last year. I think he may see a bigger role, even if he is not the starting running back. He's going to get a lot of carries. Austin Bryant, All-American candidate, also from Thomas County Central, by way of Pavo, had 4 tackles in that spring game, and he is, I think, setting himself up to have a big year for the Tigers. West Virginia. Now, at West Virginia, they're not yet having their spring game, but they are raving about Josh Norwood. Josh Norwood played at Valdosta High School, signed with Ohio State, was at Columbus for 1 year, went to a junior college looking for a new program. And the coaches in an article that I read went on and on about his physicality. And they're just saying, you guys just wait until you see Josh Norwood. He will be a fan favorite. They absolutely love him at West Virginia. So I think, although right now he is listed as a second team safety, and he's also going to play some on special teams, they think he's going to be a fan favorite. They love his physicality, and he could certainly be the starting safety by the time the season opener comes around in September. Also, Bull Barge, another guy from Cockwood County, excuse me, who is South Alabama. He is a rising senior. South Alabama has a new coach, Joey Jones, the former coach of South Alabama, who is now at Mississippi State. And so this coaching staff is looking for some leadership. And Bull Barge, now he did not have a tackle in the spring game. Doesn't matter. Bull Barge is a big-time player throughout the spring. He's been every year, every day at South Alabama. They name an offensive and defensive player of the day. And he's been that a couple of times in Mobile. And, you know, he is seen as the guy who's going to be the anchor of our defense. And certainly Packer fans in Moultrie don't have any trouble at all believing that. Tallahassee, Florida State, Willie Taggart, new coach. I've seen total, I've seen numbers of 53,000, 57,000, over 60,000 people who were at Dope Campbell Stadium, most to see football. Some may have been there to see Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, and Rob Bass were there for the postgame concert. You might have had some come for the music. Most came for the football and to see the new system, Willie Taggart. My buddy Bryce Johnson, the professor from our Friday night show, was down there. As a big Seminole fan, he is. And the guy who really turned some heads, Tamarion Terry, a redshirt freshman. He will be a redshirt freshman this fall from Turner County High School up in Ashburn. Tamarion is about 6'4", an incredible athlete. Didn't play, got redshirted last year. He caught a long pass, like a 45-yard pass early, caught a touchdown pass in the scrimmage this past weekend. Willie Taggart has said he would like to have about 10 or 11 receivers. Right now he has about four who are healthy and on scholarship, and one of those is Tamarion Terry. They signed about four or five pretty highly rated receivers who will be there in the fall. They'll be pushing for starting time as well. But right now Tamarion Terry has certainly set himself apart as a guy, a big target who can get some separation, who can make plays, who can make catches. I don't know if the quarterback is going to be DeAndre Francois, who, of course, got hurt last year in the season opener. James Blackman returns. He was the true freshman who played. Francois, most people thought he was going to come back. He was arrested last week on marijuana charges. I think his future with that program is pretty murky right now. But Tamarion Terry's future isn't too murky. He's a playmaker. He's going to be making plays in Tallahassee. Ontario Wilson, also from Turner County High School, is on that roster. He's making plays, and he was redshirted last year. And then finally, at the University of Cincinnati, Charles McClelland from Clinch County High School, he has really turned some heads. Now, he should be a senior right now, getting ready for prom. I think they actually had prom at Clinch County this past weekend. Charles McClelland was finishing up spring practice at up at Cincinnati, and boy, do they love this guy. 5'11", 185. And there's a great story by Gino, and I may be getting his name mispronounced. He's a quarterback's coach, Gino Gudugli, who played at Cincinnati. And he said, you know, Charles McClelland was a quarterback in high school. And so when you get somebody who we've now switched to running back, you wonder, is he really going to want to hit it up in the hole between the tackles? Charles McClelland proved in the first live contact period, I thought he ran great. He's catching the ball well. He is a fast learner, and his future is bright for the Cincinnati Bearcats. With new coach there as well, and Luke Fickell, they like what they see. Charles McClelland going to turn some heads up in Cincinnati. Let's go to the Kerrigan Davis Hotline. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hey, Chris. This is Danny up in Nashville. How are you?
My good friend Danny Studstill. How are you, man?
Just fine. Sorry you missed the Cook Fellowship of Christian Athletes banquet the other night.
No, I am too. Bill Curry, the speaker up there in ADL, I guess it was in Lenox, and I heard he was fantastic, Danny.
He was. Well, first of all, Chad Sumner and all those folks gave us grilled pork chops and all the trimmings, and that was fabulous.
Best
and
of
then we had some good entertainment, and then Bill Curry gave a message that would really just touch the bottom of your heart and gave you some life lessons to live by.
I tell you what, when you look at his resume, the fact that he has coached at some of the best programs in the country, the fact that he played for Vince Lombardi and the Green Bay Packers, and he has been there. He has seen it. He has done it. And, boy, when he speaks about his faith, I know he is strongly convicted, and I'm sure that was passed around to the crowd there in Cook County last week.
It was. He gave a great message about gave an analogy between the football huddle and how Jesus could help your life just like the huddle could help you otherwise. a great analogy, a great story. Gave a lot of personal stories, like Ray Nitschke, the great linebacker for the Packers, broke his nose and I think a shoulder or an arm.
Wow.
So he
That's
said Nitschke was something else.
Yeah, I bet. I don't think anybody would doubt that. Yeah, and I appreciate the good folks at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and for putting these banquets together to hear these great stories from guys like Bill Curry. And, of course, we had Stinchcomb at the Velocita One, and they bring all these speakers in for us and, again, to help raise money for that fantastic organization. I assume it was a great crowd, Danny?
It was. It was a packed house and a wonderful message and great fellowship. And sorry you missed it, but I understand family comes first. And he said Lombardi was a hard guy to get to know. Number one, he said he didn't talk like anybody from the South. And number two, he was a Catholic, so he went to church every day, and he couldn't get used to that. and then he had his priorities.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But it was a wonderful program, and the folks up at Cook did a great job. But I'm excited about Friday Night Football, and I can't wait.
17 weeks and 4 days, Danny, but who's counting, my friend?
Yep, and Seth Stillfirm wants to be a big part of the Friday Night Football, so please work us into your schedule.
We absolutely will. We're looking forward to it as well, Danny, and again, we appreciate the great work that you do in Berrien County, Lowndes County, all around with you and your team. We really do appreciate it, and thanks for your support of our show, of SCA, and everything else that you guys are involved with.
If we can help you, all you got to do is call us.
Take care, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Same here.
All right, there you go. Bye-bye. Danny Studsteel, the Studsteel Firm, one of our great sponsors of a Friday night show and good people. And I hate that I had to miss Bill Curry. Had some family illness we had to take care of, but I know it was a great – and listen, the first thing he mentioned was his grilled pork chops. My man Chad Sumner, I don't know how they do it. Goodness gracious. I hate that I miss Bill Curry. I hate that I miss spending time with my friend Danny Studsteel. Almost as much as right up there with us, those grilled pork chops. But man, Sumner does it like nobody's business. So good night time was had by all, as I knew that it would be. We'll take a quick break. By the way, I'm being told by some great Seminole fans, the charges against DeAndre Francois, the marijuana charges, were dropped. However, Willie Taggart has said that the incident would be handled internally after Saturday's spring game. He said DeAndre is still on our football team, and we're going to handle it internally. And so there's where that is. Who knows? We'll wait and see. But regardless, whoever's playing quarterback, a big tall kid from Turner County looks like a pretty good target no matter who's behind center. Bailey Hockman, remember him, a teacher? He's down there, played very well in that spring game on Saturday. Take a quick break. Dean Fabrizio joining us next. Keep it locked right here. You're listening to the High School Football Report brought to you by our good friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. And we'll be back with more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this beautiful Monday. This is the High School Football Report brought to you by our friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. Again, shopping for tires, they've got it all kind of, they got tires coming and going. They do auto repairs. They've got everything that you need, the best tire brands in the industry. Go by and see them. Give them a call, 247-1555, all the great folks at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. Joining us live from the Kerrigan-Davis Hotline tonight is our good friend Dean Fabrizio, the head coach of the Lee County Trojans. Coach, how are you?
Good, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
Man, I messed that up. I meant to say the state champion, Lee County Trojans, but everybody knows that. So, when you made that, you know, once you win a state championship, Coach, as you guys did this year, and of course, even, you know, that happens in December and even into the new year when you have celebrations and proclamations and all this kind of stuff. And I know you guys, folks in Leesburg, have been very excited about it. When do you start to, okay, that was fantastic. Now we got to shift gears into 2018. Is that a process, or does this just kind of, you know, come along?
Well, yeah, that's a really, really good question. You know, it especially, you know, the first thing to do with, obviously, is the season going so long, and this year with the state championship game getting pushed back a week, it really went long. And then, of course, you've got the ring, raising money for the rings, the ring ceremony, the proclamations, all the other things that go with it. And those are all just great, great things. Wouldn't trade them for anything. But you really have to make sure you focus on this next year's team as well, and not get too caught up in all the celebration and everything from the previous year's team. And that's something we've really had to sit down with this year's, you know, rising seniors, and then speak to them about, hey, this is a new year, a new team. These things we're going through this offseason, we're doing are great, but we have to realize we've got to focus on next year as well.
And then doing that, I know there's obviously a lot of excitement around the program. Do you see more of your players, or maybe even more people, kids in the school who didn't, maybe haven't played football, who say, hey, I want to be a part of this? And that can sometimes be kind of a hidden fringe benefit of winning a championship.
Well, I think there's definitely been a lot of excitement in the community because of this, and a lot of excitement in our school, certainly with getting support and people wanting to be involved is at an all-time high, and that's just one of the benefits. You know, when you have a lot of success, people want to be involved with it. And so those things have been great. As far as numbers, you know, our numbers have been pretty big these last few years, and I think we'll find out a little bit with spring practice in a couple of weeks, and we may be up a little bit numbers-wise. I think the commitment level throughout the program you're getting from the kids is even a little bit better than it's been because of the success, though.
Whenever you look at what you got coming back in 2018, Coach, of course, you lose your quarterback, Jace Orndorff, who had an incredible career there at Lee County. Mm-hmm. Guys like Otis Reese, who everybody has talked about, everybody knows, and Nicky Cruz, who that kid was really productive for you at running back, and Tytrell, all these guys who won't be there. But you still got a pretty good nucleus, and even some young guys who played a lot as freshmen coming back this fall.
Well, no doubt. You know, that's the nature of high school football. You know, we lost 41 seniors, which was a large senior class, you know, and those guys, I think 37 of them had been with us, you know, since ninth grade, and over 30 of them have been here since elementary school. So it was a group that we'd seen grow for a long, long time, and that was seemed like they were around forever. But, you know, in high school, guys graduate, and kids, you know, grow and get bigger and stronger. So we've got a young group that we're real excited about. We've got some good players coming back, ones that got a lot of playing time last year, and you know, losing some great players like Otis Reese, T.J. Harris, Ty Terrell, Jace Orndorff, you know, those guys are going to be hard to replace. But, you know, last year at this time, we were wondering how we were going to place Aubrey Solomon and guys like that. So that's just part of it, you know, and hopefully we've got some young guys ready to step up and make their mark. But there's no doubt we lost a very special group last year, and got some guys who are, you know, who we're used to seeing out there on the field. You know, when you've got a four-year starter like Otis and a three-year starter like T.J. Harris and guys like that, and when you look out and they're not out there, it just seems a little bit different.
Of course, again, we're talking with Dean Fabrizio on the Kerrigan-Davis Hotline, head coach of the Lee County Trojans. The guys you got coming back, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them. But first of all, let's talk about that quarterback position, because it is so important to any football team. Jay started, what I know, 2 years. Was he a three-year starter? Or?
No, he started the last two years. Okay. But then Garrett Morrell, who was a starter before him, got hurt late in the season, and he had to start the last few games his sophomore year. One of those was versus Mount Austin that I think y'all covered. So
yep.
So that was, you know, he started just over two seasons for us, so a lot of games.
Who's going to be who are you looking at to be in competition to take over the signal calling role?
We've got two sophomore quarterbacks that we're real excited about, Blaine Grace and Kyle Toole. Both are talented kids, and they're both very dedicated, and they're fighting it out for the quarterback position. So, you know, that's something that I'm sure is going to go through all spring and all summer. You know, they both rotated as backups last year and rotated on our JV. You know, our JV team was undefeated last year, and they both, you know, split time with there. So, We're excited to see what they're going to do here this spring. We got confidence in both of them. We think they both can be pretty good players, and we're just going to have to see which one wins the job.
I know different coaches have different theories on this. Do you like to have a starter coming out of spring, or do you not mind if that competition goes through preseason?
Well, that's another good question. I mean, obviously, we'd love to have somebody be the clear-cut guy, but by the same token, I mean, you know, competition's good, and it pushes guys to be the best they can be. And like I said, we're kind of treating that like any other position, and the guy who performs the best and gives us the best chance to win will be the guy we play. But right now, it's really up in the air, and, you know, we're very fortunate that we have two really, really good young quarterbacks that we feel good of. We feel either of them could lead us and do well, but we'll just have to see which one plays the best and progresses the most here, and we're excited about it and excited about the competition.
Of course, there's a lot of other guys get coming back as well. Baron Hobson, who had an incredible career as a freshman. He's a young freshman, too. But Chauncey Magwood, another guy as a freshman. Sean Kimbrough, the running back, who kind of split time with Nico. And I know he's coming back. And you got some linemen. Tay Mayo is a guy who was and I've talked to people about – anyway, I've talked about Tay on this show. He just, to me, is a special kind of kid because it seems like he does things that you almost just can't coach. He just is a playmaker, has a nose for the football, and I know he's been getting a lot of attention from colleges.
Yeah, Tay's gotten quite a few offers from a lot of schools this offseason. And he had a great year last year. You know, I think he had 8 interceptions. Obviously had the interception that in overtime that iced the state championship game, that ended the state championship game. He had, I think, 4 touchdowns last year defensively. So he's a guy that's got really good coverage skills, but makes a lot of plays. That's the big thing. There's a lot of guys that cover well, but he makes plays. And with the interceptions and the other things that he did last year for us, had a very, very impressive year. And he just had a great offseason, and we lost some good players back there in that secondary, and he's going to have to lead a young group next year.
We could be here until about 9 o'clock tonight to list all of his offers, but just to tell you the main ones, just this past week, my buddy Mike Leach at Washington State extended an offer to Tay Mayo as well as Georgia Southern. Some of the other Power 5, Pitt, NC State, Nebraska, Maryland, Minnesota, Iowa State, West Virginia, Michigan. I think Jim Harbaugh wants to move to Leesburg. I'll tell you what, he has got offers coming to guys. He's got guys up there. He loves the town of Leesburg. So Tay Mayo certainly, as we said, getting a lot of attention. Coach, when do you guys start high school spring practice?
May 5th. We start on a Saturday, and our kids are excited to get going. You know, they've been working hard in the weight room this offseason. This really, the new facility that we moved into last summer, this was our first offseason in it. Mm-hmm. So that's been nice to work out. This is the new weight room that we have and the facility we have here at Lee County, which is top of the line. So that's, going through this year, being our first offseason in it, it's been really, really nice and a lot of advantages over what we've had previously, and a lot of things we're able to do, the amount of guys we can work out. We're able to work the whole team out at one time, or before we had to split them up into several different periods or classes. And just with having everything together, guys are able to go in there after school and other times after we run or whatever we do after school. They're able to just come in there or come in early before school because everything's right there together with the locker room, the weight room, the offices. And so it's been a big help to us. But May 5th is when we start. And like I said, we got a lot of guys that saw playing time last year, but we got a lot of good players off our JV and freshmen we're excited about. So going to be a lot of competition out there this spring, which is a good thing.
And now you'll wrap that up as a spring game?
Yes, we play Warner Robins.
Wow. Well, how about
spring.
That?
So yeah, we play Warner Robins in the spring for scrimmage. So that'll be a good contest. Their head coach, Mike Chastain, has done an excellent job, was with us here as an offensive coordinator my first few years.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of play that a scrimmage type atmosphere where we get a lot of guys in, a lot of guys get to play, but that'll be some good competition. We'll get to see, we'll certainly see if guys can play or not
out there versus
them this spring because they got a good team.
I would say that would be one of the best spring games anywhere in the state of Georgia. Warner Robins playing for a state championship in 5A last year, and of course Lee County the defending 6A state champion. Looking at your schedule, of course we all have new schedules. You start off at Doherty. That's going to be at Albany State on the 17th. Dr. Phillips from Orlando, there's been a lot of talk about this game. That's a great program from Florida that you guys will be hosting and playing on Saturday the 25th. Tell folks who may not know much about Dr. Phillips High School.
Well, they're the defending 8A state champion, which is the largest class in Florida. And I believe they played for it the year before. So they've been in the state championship game 2 years in a row, and they won it this past year. And big school, almost 4,000 kids, and they've got a lot of great athletes. And it's going to be a tough game for us right out the gate, but it's one, kind of our kids have really been aiming for and are excited about. Their head coach actually played for me in the mid-90s, way back when. So when I was happy they won it, and we talked this off season, and they were in the mid-year their scheduling cycle. They were able to get out of a game, and we were able to work it out where they come up here and play. So it'll be a really good test for us to start the season, but one that I think is going to be just a huge game on a national scale with a state largest class state champion out of Florida versus us coming off a state championship season here in Georgia, just to be a huge game, and hopefully we can represent Georgia and South Georgia well.
I don't think there's any doubt that you will. And here's what they don't have. They may have an 8A state championship of Florida, Coach, but here's what they don't have. Last week we went over the team, all of the teams that we cover in South Georgia. over the last 5 years, who has the best non-region record? And we all know how tough region is.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys play some tough non-region teams. You always have. Lee County 25-0 in the last 5 years. As a matter of fact, you've won your last 36 non-region games. That is incredible. You may not even keep up with that. I don't know.
No, you don't get to – when the region we've been in the last several years, it doesn't seem like you get to enjoy the non-region games too much because you know what's coming up down the road. You know, we've tried to really increase the last several years, you know, our non-region. Last year, of course, played Americus, who was a region champion. TCC, who's had good teams. Bainbridge, of course, TCC was a little bit down last year, but the year before they were the region champion. Bainbridge, who's had some good teams. You know, we've tried to play some people pretty good. And then this year, of course, we're playing, you know, after Dr. Phillips, we play Peach County.
Yeah.
The very next week, we've got Thompson on there. I think 5 of the 10 teams on our schedule have played for the state championship in the last 2 years.
Wow.
So pretty tough schedule we've got.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But it's an exciting one, and one our kids will be happy to play. And, you know, and that's certainly playing a Dr. Phillips and a Peach County early and a Thompson will definitely help prepare us for region play and kind of let us know our weaknesses and what we have to work on. Because, as you know, hopefully, you know, Region 1 6A has won the state title 4 straight years, you
that's
know,
right.
The old Region 1 6A. And then, of course, they created the 7A. But the Region 1 6 is 4 years in a row. So hopefully we can defend our title again and have someone from our region win it again this year.
I guarantee you, you've got to feel like if you come out of that region and as a region champ or even just get into the playoffs, October the 12th, Lee County at Northside, one Robbins. You host Valdosta on the 19th. You host Houston County on the 26th before ending the season in a state championship rematch, this time in Douglas, not in Leesburg, against the Coffee High Trojans. And I'm sure folks in Douglas probably have that circled on their calendar already to try to get a little revenge.
But it seemed like, especially with that game being delayed a week, seemed like we practiced for forever for Coffee last year. So, but they got a great program. We were just, you know, on our end, and I know they felt the same way. We were just so happy for them as they made their run through the playoffs and were able to get to the state championship. I mean, we were so happy that Coach Pruitt and his staff and everybody over at Coffee that they were able to get there. And it was just a great thing to have an all Region 1 final because, you know, we know how tough football is and we all take a lot of pride in Region 1 football and South Georgia football. And I think that was just a showcase for how good it is to have two teams in the finals and, like I said, 4 straight years of a Region 1 team winning the state championship. And with 2 of us playing for it this year made it even more special.
And again, you know, there's so much talk about the fact that it was not played at Mercedes-Benz and was played. But I tell you, I've talked to so many people, and I was not there the night in Leesburg, but the atmosphere in Leesburg that night for a state championship game, they said, was unmatched. You couldn't have played it anywhere better. Of course, Coffee fans probably disagree, but the atmosphere in your home stadium on a night like that is almost hard to describe unless you're there.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, I've heard, you know, I came to Georgia, I think this will be my 11th year, so they had already stopped playing the state championship games at the home site. And I've heard a lot of people talk about that and say we need to move the games back to the home sites. And I always just kind of thought, you know, the state championship ought to be played at the big stadium and that. But I tell you, after that, I'm a convert. And I know it was at our place. I know we won. But just the atmosphere there was just – you couldn't match it in a large pro stadium.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable. And what a showcase for Georgia high school football and really and South Georgia high school football. Coffee brought a huge crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the game just, you know, from everybody went off without a hitch and it was packed and everybody just had a great time. Luke Bryan there on the sidelines cheering the whole game. I mean, what more can you?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. And I think we could have said that same thing if the game had been played in Douglas. I think I know Lee County fans would have come over there like crazy and it would have been a great atmosphere, you know, at either one of those stadiums. But, of course, folks in Leesburg especially loved it. So, and, of course, now, you know, the winning one is very tough. Winning back-to-back and making a run for it a second time can be a daunting task as well. But I know you got your guys hungry for it, and that's the whole key is to get them hungry and get them ready to play this fall.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, it's just so many things go into it. You have to have, you know, not only you have to be good, but you have to catch some breaks. And, you know, we certainly were fortunate last year and stayed healthy in the right places and caught the right breaks. And, you know, there's so many good teams that we have to play through the course of next season. It's going to be exciting. But you know, we're sure take a bump or two on the way. And hopefully we're able to regroup and be there at the end. But we know we've got our work cut out for us.
Now, here's the quiz time, Coach. The last non-region game the Lee County Trojans lost, do you have any idea?
Yeah, it would have been probably my first game here versus – second game versus that would have been versus – I want to say, is it Dutchtown?
Oh, I can't believe you nailed it, my man, Dutchtown. Your first year – you only played two non-region games that year. That's back when you were in Central and Bainbridge and America's region. Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. You can't get anything past Fabrizio.
Well, I tell you what. Now you say those regions, I wish, you know, maybe we can get back to that region because that would certainly make the take the stress off the, like I said, that when you know it's like you've got Bigfoot looming outside your door, you know, you have to go outside. You can't really enjoy dinner too much when you've got when you know as soon as you step out the door, and you know it's exciting. It's you know, the atmospheres we get to play in this region are just second to none when you play at Coffey or Northside or Valdosta or Houston County. It's just the stadiums and the atmospheres are second to none. But I tell you, it's you got your work cut out for you because everybody you play in this league has good players and they're really well coached. So it's big boy football, without a doubt.
That's why it's special. And again, we're looking forward to a great 2018. Coach, always great catching up with you. Have a great spring practice. We'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, thanks a bunch, Chris. Appreciate everything you do.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Dean Fabrizio, head coach of the state champion Lee County Trojans. Wow. 36 consecutive non-region wins. And again, that schedule this year now, it is tough. I don't know if we went over the entire schedule there, but again, starting off against Doherty, then playing Dr. Phillips out of Orlando, then Peach County, then got to go to America Sumter, who had a very good team last year, new coach there, Larry Harold. A very tough, daunting task. Boy, Lee County showed last year they can play with anybody in the state. All right, I told you earlier, one football player, when it comes to recruiting and getting offers from big-time programs, absolutely has been blowing up in the last 48 hours, really the last week, but especially the last 48 hours. I'll tell you who that is, and also what former South Georgia player got a huge award over the weekend, unlike we've ever talked about on this show before. I'll tell you the answer to both of those questions right after this, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. Kerrigan Davis Hotline open at 229-241-1059 on this Monday night. And I also want to remind you once again, if you happen to miss any part of the show, Dean Fabrizio's interview, or any part of it whatsoever, our link to our podcast, we will post on social media about 7:15. We'll have it up and ready. That's at Twitter, HSF Report on Twitter, and also the High School Football Report on Facebook. And we'll have that linked up there so you can listen to your podcast of this show and our last three shows, as a matter of fact, anytime that you would like to. All right, a lot of offers over the last week, as there always are this time of year. Before we get to the player that we've been mentioning, some of the offers that have been coming through. Crisp County, first of all, Ardarius Gee, the linebacker from Crisp County, says he has narrowed his list to two finalists. He will commit to either Vanderbilt or Georgia Tech. Now, he does not say exactly when he will commit, but two pretty good schools there for that Crisp County star. Dejon Edwards, the running back at Colquitt County High School, has received another scholarship offer, this from the Florida State Seminoles. We told you last week during the week on social media an article that says he still has Georgia out front. He has offers from Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, and now FSU. And remember, he's a rising junior. Still got a whole another year of this. Micah Morris, the mammoth offensive tackle from Camden County, got an offer over the past week from the University of Florida. He actually attended their spring game, got an offer while he was down there. Treon Pace from Pelham High School, offer from Tennessee Chattanooga and FAMU over the last week. Tavion Gray, offers from Georgia Southern and Kent State over the past week as well. And he's the defensive player from Brooks County High School. And I mentioned Tay Mayo getting offers from Washington State and Georgia Southern. And again, that is not an inclusive list. A lot of players from South Georgia, but that's some of the ones that have gotten some action over the last week. But nobody has been busier than Colquitt County linebacker Rashard Revels. Last year, Rashard Revels, it has been said he led the state with over 200 tackles last year. I usually shy away from people who say they lead anything in tackles because tackles are such a kind of a dubious stat. You know, if I went to a football game and kept stats and you went to the same football game and kept stats, there's a very good possibility they're going to have two different sets of numbers. That's just the way it is. It's fast-paced. You got to catch everything. You're going to miss something. It always happens, okay? And so especially whenever you are trying to keep tackle stats, that's very hard. And some teams keep them differently. Some guys give, you know, if a guy gets a first hit, or so it's just kind of a tough thing to really keep up with. But listen, whether he led the state, didn't lead the state, who knows? He had a lot of tackles. He was a big time playmaker for Colquitt County. And word is getting out. Just in the past week, Rashard Revels has received offers from Vanderbilt on April the 11th, which was last Wednesday. Last Thursday, offers from California and University of Texas, El Paso. Let's see, that was Thursday. Saturday, offers from North Carolina State and University of Cincinnati. Sunday, offers from Maryland, Purdue, Oregon State. And today, offer from the University of Missouri. This list may double by this time next week. He is a hot commodity. 6 foot, 183 playmaker from a team to play for the state championship. And a lot of people are predicting that they will make another run at a state championship this year. So Rashard Revels, that will not be the final list of offers. He actually tweeted out today that his dream school is Ole Miss, who is yet to offer. But I'll bet whatever's in my wallet right now that they will, because, and that's how it happens sometimes. A player gets a couple of offers. It turns the attention of other programs. Says, wait, let's look at this table. Ooh, wow, this kid can play. Let's offer him too. And it stacks up, and it stacks up in a very short amount of time. And I think that is made more of a possibility, the fact that now social media, word travels so fast. And so there you go. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 offers in the last week, including 6 in the last 2 days. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And the day ain't over yet, folks. I mean, we still got, you know, 5 hours and change left today. He may add 2 or 3 more before midnight. But Rashard Revels is a guy who, as they say in the industry, is blowing up. Now, I need to mention, I'll save our last trivia question for last, the other player who was on it over the weekend, but I don't want to leave out this story about the Alabama High School Association. This happened late last week, the quarterly meeting of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Central Board in Montgomery. They approved the use of instant replay beginning this fall in Alabama High School. Now, other states, New Jersey and Minnesota, have used or plan to use replay in championship games. Alabama is believed to be the first state to have instant replay available at all high school games. Now, the National Federation of High School Football does not allow for high school sports. They don't allow instant replay for football. But the Alabama High School Association has been granted a waiver to implement instant replay as an experiment for up to 3 years. The association is going to partner with a company called DV Sport. They specialize in instant replay, and they will provide equipment to schools to facilitate in-game instant replay. They do it for a lot of organizations. They do it for the SEC. Now, they have not said how much that system will cost the individual schools, but Steve Savarese, I believe is the name of the executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, he indicated the cost would be minimal. The system's going to plug into, if a team has videotaping capabilities, which most do, certainly most big schools do, it'll plug into those capabilities, and officials will be able to access video replay by using a handheld tablet, like an iPad, on the field. Now, here's how this is going to work. Replay is not mandated at any games, but if schools would like to use it, and I think certainly schools in larger classifications and maybe in more affluent areas who can be able to buy the equipment, I think they're going to be using this. Schools can purchase additional cameras like pylon cameras and also from DV Sports. But and some officials have said that the game officials may be handicapped at schools using just one camera. But they say, listen, this is an experiment. We're going to find out if it works, if we have to tweak it, if we have to do it better. It could happen as early as this spring. Some spring football games, which are happening just in the next couple of weeks, are going to test out the system. This summer, the North-South All-Star game in Montgomery they're going to use it in that game. That's before the 2018 season begins. Just like college football, the NFL football as well, coaches in Alabama are going to be allowed to challenge calls during the game. Some calls, like penalties, will not be reviewable, but plays such as whether a player made a catch or if it's a fumble or somebody stepped out of bounds or broke the plane of a goal line, they are expected to be reviewable. Coaches will get two challenges. If they win the challenge, you still get two remaining. If you lose the challenge, then you lose the challenge, and you also lose a timeout. So there you go. It's going to be very interesting to see how this works. Now, we also know that this has been talked about in Georgia. Robin Hines, executive director of the GHSA, has said, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but we're not going to make a decision on it yet. As a matter of fact, I talked with Robin Hines today about being on the show, and schedule-wise, it didn't work out for today. We hope to have him on possibly next week or certainly in the next couple of weeks, and we'll talk about this. We'll also talk about the possibility of going back to six classifications, something he mentioned at last week's GHSA meeting as a possibility. And so we look forward to having Robin Hines on the show very soon. But that's very interesting in Alabama. We'll kind of keep tabs on that and see how that works this fall, but also this spring, and certainly this summer in the All-Star Game. Instant replay approved for Alabama high school football in an experimental role beginning this fall. I think this is going to be the wave of the future. Like it or not, I think this may be what we're looking at for everybody pretty soon. The advance of technology, you can't fight it. We'll take the last break. When we come back, I'll tell you the former South Georgia player that got a pretty big honor over the weekend and more. You still got time to hit us up on the Kerrigan Davis hotline, 229-241-1059. Again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. It's the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, getting ready to wrap it up on this Monday, April 16th edition of the High School Football Report, brought to you by Ray Norton Tire and Auto, as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Again, follow us on Twitter, HSF Report on Twitter, and also the High School Football Report on Facebook as well. All right, Friday night, 2018, Academy of Country Music Awards named Red Akins Songwriter of the Year. He's been a songwriter and a standout in Nashville for many, many years. He's been writing songs, hit songs for a lot of different artists over the years. When She Says Baby, Jason Aldean, Dustin Lynch's Mind Reader, That Don't Sound Like You, Lee Rice, Big Hit. I've written some songs for his son, Thomas Rhett, who's a huge country music star as well. And Red Akins, of course, folks around here know this very well, was a starting quarterback back in the late 80s for Joe Wilson's Lowndes High Vikings. I believe he started quarterback for 2 years. He also played baseball, ran track. He was the FCA. A little shout out to the FCA there. And, and love football. Matter of fact, he walked on at Georgia, wanted to play quarterback at University of Georgia. That didn't work out. So he said, you know what? I'll just follow my other passion. Moved to Nashville, began writing songs, began touring with Reba McEntire, had some good songs of his own. That Ain't My Truck in Her Drive. I can sing that whole Red Akins album, Old Dirt Road off 33, the whole nine yards. Red Akins, great country music singer, fantastic country music songwriter. And, of course, he wrote the majority of the songs. He had, I think, 4 or 5 albums himself, and including that gold record, That Ain't My Truck. And so now the ACM Country Music Songwriter of the Year. See, in South Georgia, where we're very familiar with the Akins family, and, of course, Rhett's brother Brooks Akins is a big football player here as well, and folks know his parents and his whole family, that kind of thing. I wonder if South Georgia, when they're talking about Rhett Akins, do they say ACM Songwriter of the Year, Red Akins, or former Lowndes High quarterback, Red Akins, or probably just Red. He's just one of us. He's just our guy, you know. But, follow your dreams and it happens. So congratulations to him. Great guy, fantastic talent. And, we remember the days playing for the old Plowboys back in the day, playing for Coach Joe Wilson. But I think I want to say 86, 87, boy, digging in the memory bank now. But I want to say 86, 87 is when he started at quarterback for the Vikings. My ears may be a little bit off there, but I believe that's correct before going on to fame in Nashville. So congratulations to Red Akins. That's a huge, huge honor. And when it comes to songwriting and country music, I mean, that's it. That's the Super Bowl. Doesn't get any bigger than that. He was awarded that, his first Songwriter of the Year award Friday night during, of course, the ACM had their big award show last night, but they do that, 87-88, I'm being told. Thank you, Stick. Appreciate that. See, I was close. 86-87, that was close, but 87-88 when he was the quarterback. So right around there. Great guy. And we're certainly proud of him back here in South Georgia. We want to thank our friend Dean Fabrizio from Lee County High School for joining us tonight. Thank the callers. Thank the listeners. Thank everybody. Remember, if you happen to miss part of the show, we'll put the link to our podcast up on our social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, here in about the next 15 minutes. Follow us all throughout the week. We repost stories having to do with high school football, mostly in South Georgia, some other Georgia stories as well. So follow us on social media as we continue to keep you updated with everything going on in high school football. Thank our good friends at Kerrigan Davis, Citizens Community Bank, Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. We'll see you next week right here on the High School Football Report.